Hi everyone, my name is Anuj. I'm a second year MBBS student at GMC Nagpur, and in this video I'll be talking about how you can crack NEET in your first attempt or how to study for NEET. So basically, as you can see, the entire video is very long and the timeline has been divided into various different segments. So first let me just introduce myself. Hi, my name is Anuj Patel, second year MBBS at GMC Nagpur, and I secured an All India rank of 885 in NEET 2018. At that time I got 613 marks out of 720. Well, now mind it that at that time 613 was still a good score, but now the quality of the exam has drastically fallen down. But anyways, that's all about me. I also got 99 percentile in AIIMS, but I went for GMC Nagpur as I stay over here in Nagpur itself. So, well, that's all about me, and without any further ado, let's dive into the topic that you are very excited to hear from me. So the first thing that anybody questions is what books should we use when we are studying for NEET. So for this exact thing, I've divided books into three types. Okay, so for any subject you are going to be encountering, that is physics, chem or bio, there are only three types of books. The number one is your textbooks. Now textbooks are those books which actually give you the most information which you are going to acquire, and using that information you are going to solve the different MCQs and the different types of questions. Now the second type of book that you're going to be encountering is called as the MCQ book, or the question bank as we say it. So in that book there will be theory as well as questions, or it could be just purely a questions book which will have all the different questions as well as answers. And the last type of book is the previous year question banks. Now with that being in mind, let us look at each different subject and see what are the different books you can use. So let us start with biology. Biology is the most important subject for your NEET. It will determine whether or not you will get selected. Chemistry and physics will determine your rank, and specifically physics will determine what is your percentile. The higher you score in physics, the more higher your percentile goes. So focusing on biology, let's start with textbooks. So the textbook of biology, of course, as you must be knowing, it is NCERT. NCERT is a textbook which you should all be having by heart. Okay. The next thing that you should be focusing on, if you want to go one step further from NCERT, however, 80 to 85 questions will be from NCERT itself. If you want to still go and learn a lot of things in a more detailed fashion, here are some of the books. There is something called as GRB books. So those are again excellent books. Next, we have Truman's Objective Biology. Now this book is actually a bit difficult to read, but if you can, and if you have 2 years for your preparation, then definitely go for GRB or Truman's. Okay, apart from that, definitely many of you will be enrolled in some institute, so the textbook which the institute provides you, that works as well. So those were the textbooks of your biology. Next, we'll talk about MCQ books or question banks for biology itself. So for MCQ books, we have GRB again. It has theory as well as it has got a lot of MCQs. So like 500, 600, 700 MCQs per chapter. So that once you are done with the chapter, you can have a lot of exposure. And not just chapter, even subdivisions of chapters have a lot of MCQs. For example, if you're reading Animal Kingdom, then let's say you just completed chordates. Then that chordate section itself will have like 300 or 400 MCQs, which are integrated form of previous years as well as different other MCQs which they have made by themselves. The next thing is Truman's Objective Biology. Again, objective means MCQ. They also have MCQs in it. So yeah, you can solve that. And finally, an important aspect is that whichever institute that you are enrolled in, you will definitely have the question papers of that institute and the question banks of that institute. So make sure that you solve those properly. But here the take home point is that the most important thing that you should be reading over here is again NCERT and NCERT. 80 to 85 questions will come from NCERT only. As we have seen, like this time, like almost 98-99% questions were from NCERT itself. So the more you read NCERT, the better it will be for you. Next, let us talk about chemistry. So in chemistry, basically the textbooks that you have are NCERT, then you have Cengage, GRB, and then you have your institute books. So here I would like to point out GRB and Cengage, because NCERT you might be familiar. NCERT you have to do for inorganic chemistry, physical chemistry and organic chemistry, that means chemistry as a whole. Apart from that, Cengage, I definitely suggest you go with physical chemistry, because physical chemistry is very nicely explained in Cengage. That means different mechanisms of different reactions, as well as the numerical problems which are given are excellent. So Cengage is a good option for you. The next thing is we have GRB. GRB, as usual, is an excellent book. The number of questions that you get from GRB practicing is like phenomenal. So if you want to go, then Cengage or GRB, either one will work. However, when I was studying, I did both of them and my physical chemistry was pretty nice. So yeah, and of course, Institute books as usual. Next, the MCQ books or the question bank books, again, GRB and Cengage. Question bank books, and Cengage has got excellent theory. So if you're weak in physical chemistry, definitely Cengage will help you. Next, we have the question papers and the question bank, which you get from your own institute itself. Apart from that, if you go searching online, you will definitely find a lot of different question banks which are present, and you can utilize them to add on to your studies. The last subject that we have to talk about over here is physics. So physics is kind of difficult, and you can consider physics and physical chemistry to be on the same boat. So for physics, the most important textbook that you will have is, you know, HCV. And by HCV, I do not mean hepatitis C virus. I actually mean H.C. Verma sir's textbook. So HCV is the one which you should be referring for physics. I know that HCV is kind of high, but unless and until you don't go that extra mile, then you truly don't understand physics very nicely. Let me just give you an analogy of what I'm speaking over here. If you know advanced physics, that means if you know a bit advanced than what you are already giving in NEET, then if a question in NEET, when it appears, if it is even of a higher value, then you will be able to solve that question easily. So once you are practicing the hard match, then the easy matches will seem easier. So therefore, if you are like 11th standard student, or if you're a repeater, and if you're looking forward for concept based physics learning and you don't have a teacher, then H.C. Verma is the book for you. I personally solved like the second module of H.C. Verma, that is for 12th standard. I did not do the 11th one, but my 12th physics was way stronger than my 11th one. So that is what I want you to try, that H.C. Verma is a great one. So definitely for physics textbook, go with H.C. Verma. Apart from that, the modules which you're getting from your institute, if you look on the internet, you will definitely find their modules as well. Next thing is that GRB again is a great book here too, because the number of questions that GRB gives is just phenomenal. I remember that we used to solve 300, 400 questions each day sometimes, and we used to discuss it the very next day. So I had a group of friends, like 4 or 5 people, and then we used to solve a lot of questions together from GRB itself. So that kind of gives a unified feeling, because the number of questions you're practicing is way, way important, as well as the quality of questions. So from H.C. Verma, you're getting the quality, and from GRB, you're getting the quantity. The next thing is that the MCQs as well as the question bank books of this particular thing is that HCV, again, this is not MCQ based. It has just questions which are not MCQs. These are theory type questions, but they give you so much insight on what and how you have to solve. And of course, the solved examples which are given in Sir's book are definitely amazing as well. GRB, again, MCQs, and finally the question papers. So this were all the textbook and the MCQ books that you should definitely look forward. The take home point from over here is that for biology, NCRT is a must thing. Then you should definitely, if you can, then solve Truman's or GRB, not both. The next thing is that in chemistry, physical chemistry, you have to solve Cengage or GRB, and you have to like learn the theory from Cengage. Apart from that, NCRT you have to read for all of chemistry, like physical, inorganic, inorganic. And finally, MCQ and Q bank book for chemistry, you can have GRB or Cengage. And in physics, HCV is your book that you have to go to. And trust me, logon ne bana ke rakha hai bawal ki HCV hard hoti hai. But once you understand a concept from its core, nothing is hard as such, okay? And it will be very fun when you understand the concept by your own. Now let us move on to the last type of books that you will be needing for your NEET examination, that is the previous year question bank. Now what is the importance is that it is usually seen that the questions which have appeared a few years back are molded and twisted, and they reappear in the new examination. That means solving a question bank is an absolute must. So in my last video, which I did a long time ago, I recommended the same thing, that there are certain books which have compiled these questions of previous year into one particular question bank book. And the book that you should be using for previous year is from Oswal Books. So the book is Previous Year Question Bank, and they have the past 33 years of question paper in that bank. The answer key is extremely detailed as far as I have read, and they have beautiful mind maps. So definitely go for this book. My next topic over here is subject-wise approach to studying different subjects. Here I've divided the subjects and grouped them together. For example, biology is grouped with inorganic chemistry, and physical chemistry is grouped with physics because of the nature of the questions that comes from it. So let us talk first about biology along with inorganic chemistry. So now, These questions are such that if you know the answer to a particular question, then you know it, otherwise you don't. There is no way of figuring out the answer unless and until you don't know how to eliminate the options. More on that later. So here, knowledge is power. The more knowledge that you have of a particular thing, the better you will be at it. Simple. The key in inorganic chemistry as well as biology is to read NCERT and only NCERT, because there is an infinite pool of knowledge that you cannot read all at once. You have to segregate, and that segregation is perfectly in balance with what comes in the examination given in the NCERT book. So read NCERT as many times as you can, especially if you have like 6 months left for the examination. Remove all of the modules and all the different textbooks. Just focus on NCERT for inorganic as well as biology. So yeah, that was the thing. And the thing is that for both of these things, try using 30 minutes, you know, thing, that is Pomodoro session. So in inorganic chemistry and biology, you need speed so that you can rush through the questions with maximum of them being right and correct. So try the Pomodoro session. That means sit for 30 minutes and try a speed run of how many questions you can actually do in one go. The next thing is that let us talk about physics and physical chemistry. Now, the nature of these questions is that you have to have a particular amount of MCQ knowledge in your mind. That means you should be knowing how to solve a particular MCQ. If an MCQ comes of rotational motion, which has like banking of angle and all of that, then unless and until you have not solved that MCQ before, it will be very difficult for you to solve that MCQ right in the paper. Same thing goes for physical chemistry. Here the thing is that you can study a lot, but the most important part over here is MCQ solving. Let's say that I study all the theory about gravitation, but I don't solve even one question of it. Then if somebody gives me a question directly on the paper, then I will not be able to solve it as fast as somebody who has just solved a lot of questions. So in physical chemistry and physics, just make sure that theory reading is a good practice. But apart from theory reading, you also solve a lot of MCQs, because your MCQs will tell you how to solve the questions when they come in the examination. It is not like biology. If you know, then you will be able to solve. It is not like that. Even if you know a topic, then you will not be able to solve that question unless and until you don't know how to solve that question in the very first place. So that was the thing, that physics and physical chemistry are similar. Application of theory will give you marks, and application is only and only provided by MCQs. So that was about physics and physical chemistry. So finally, let us talk about organic chemistry. Here, you have to build a lot of concepts, and these concepts will help you solve MCQs. Now, how do you build these concepts? Now, the more theory that you read, you will build that concept, and the more MCQs that you will solve, you will build that concept. So a concept is getting stronger and stronger in organic chemistry, and hence you will be able to solve the MCQs which are coming out. So that was about organic chemistry. If you want to practice organic chemistry, then the best book out there is something called as D.K. Singh's Objective Organic Chemistry, I think. So that book has a very nice question bank of so many different questions. I've personally solved that, and it is very, very beautiful. So make sure that you also give it a try. So the take-home point over here is that in biology and organic chemistry, just read a lot of NCERT and do a good amount of questions. In physics and physical chemistry, do a number of questions, as many questions as you can. The more diverse they are, the more you can twist your mind better. And practice is the only thing that will get you better in physics and physical chemistry. In organic chemistry, you have to solve and you have to build your concepts from reading theory as well as solving MCQs. And the best book, like I told you, is D.K. Sir's Objective Chemistry. So that was all the take-home point for here. Moving on to our next part, that is tests and schedules. I'll just draw a few graphs so that you all can follow along with what I'm saying. So the first graph that I'll be drawing over here represents, on one axis it represents time, and the other axis it represents topics. Now, as you are starting at point zero, when you've just taken admission into a particular institute, you will have all the topics which you have will be unstudied. And gradually, as you go towards your goal, this topic list will fall down like this. Simultaneously, what you have to do is that you have to start revising these topics from day zero. So gradually your revision list will go upwards like this. Now, this is very basic, and I hope everybody has understood this. What I want you to know over here is that this point where no new topics are left should be around 18 months in your preparation. If you are 11th standard student, then this should be at 18 months. That means 1.5 years from the start. You don't have any new topics. That means you have studied the complete entirety of 11th as well as 12th. Now, this revision part which you are seeing over here, this is the last 6 months. So this 6 months are going to be extremely important for you. And the reason is that in this 6 months, you will recapitulate everything that you've studied in this part. So I hope you've understood this one. And this is 6 months. Okay, so this was first graph. The take home point from over here is that 18 months should be your time in which you complete everything in your syllabus. And the last 6 months, only and only what you have to do is you have to revise a lot of stuff. Okay, so the next graph that I'll be drawing you over here is giving you the relationship of the number of tests that you will be doing and the number of the and the time that you are giving that those tests in. So let us start from zero and let us go all the way to up to 2 years, right? So here it is 1 year, this is 18 months and this is 6 months. When you are just starting out preparing for NEET, then what is happening? The initial amount of test is low and then it increases and then it becomes constant. Now, this is the usual things which happens in your institutes, whichever one you have joined in. What you have to do apart from that is that once you are done with the syllabus at around 18 months of time, you have to start giving a lot of grand tests. A lot of grand tests. That means every single day you have to give one grand test, and grand test means 11th and 12th complete syllabus. Now, that is what a grand test means. And the next thing that you have to know over here is that these tests which I've drawn in blue over here. Now these tests can be of three types. They can be weekly tests that you have to give every week. These can be review tests every single month and unit test every 2 months. Now you have to plan accordingly and you have to divide the syllabus into such topics that when should I give this particular test. You can join the test series of different coaching classes and that could, you know, fit into your schedule. But always remember, even if your institute is not conducting the test, the GT, the grand test part in this graph is absolutely very, very important. So make sure that you are giving as many GTs as possible. I'm not saying this, every single teacher says this. So the more number of GTs that you give, the more time management you will learn. Everything will come to you from this GT. And these tests, the subject and topic wise test, should continue even when you are giving your GTs, because they give you like that pressure, okay, I have to do this subject and I have to learn this particular thing. So that was my second graph. My third graph over here will give you how much your study time should be and how much you should be studying each day. Over here we have time interval of your NEET, that means 0 to 2 years. And on the vertical axis, what we have is that we have your duration of study. Now make sure that no matter what happens, you are studying in small amounts every day. Now this is called as basal study. And that could differ from person to person. For me, this was like 1 hour. No matter what happens, whether it was my birthday, whether it was Christmas, whether it was Eid, Holi, Diwali, 1 hour study was mandatory. Apart from this 1 hour study, sometimes you have to increase your studies depending upon your tests, and that should definitely happen. Apart from that, naturally what you should try to do is that every week you have to try to increase your duration of studying by a small amount. That means in week one, in first week, let's say you were studying 1 hour per day. Okay, so in the second week of your preparation, you should increase that to 1 hour 10 minutes per day. Now, this is very insignificant. 10 minutes every day is insignificant. But by the end of a lot of weeks, this would have accumulated and you would have been studying 5 to 6 hours every single day without even having to worry about it. And this increase can be like even as small as 2 or 3 minutes. The only thing you should remember over here is that increment should happen. And what happens is that this graph will go exponential like this. And this is what you want to. In contrast, if you go down by 1% every 0.1% every day, then this is what your graph is going to look like. So make sure that at least if you're not increasing, then you should stay constant, but always try to increase and increase and increase, because unless and until you don't study, nothing is going to happen. So yeah, those were my three graphs. Apart from this, I would like to give you a general tip. That is, if you are not a morning person, what does a morning person mean? You will say, Anuj bhaiya. Morning person basically means that a person who is studying in the morning, in contrast to the person who are night owls, that means they are studying in the night. So gradually, believe me or not, you will have to transition into a morning person, because biologically, if you wake up early and you start studying, your brain is fresher. There is less ADP or adenosine accumulated in your brain. So you're going to run through topics very, very easily. So make sure that you do that. So that was all about timing and schedule. Coming towards my last topic, that is how to solve examination. The very first important golden rule of solving a NEET paper is that the order of your paper solving should always start with biology, then chemistry, and then with physics. The reason is that biology and chemistry are relatively easy to solve for most people than physics is. So once you are done with biology and chemistry, you'll feel like, okay, I've done two subjects. That mentally gives you a cheer up, and then you can solve physics easily. If not easily, then at least you will not be stressed. In contrary, if you start with physics, 1 hour will be done, you will not be able to complete one subject, and that will give you a mental pressure ki one subject is not even completed. So always remember biology, chemistry, and physics. Talking about the timing that you should be giving to each one of these subjects is that biology, you should always try to get it under 30 or 45 minutes. If you get it under 30, that's excellent. In 45 minutes, that is like the dead limit. You should not give anything more than 45 or 50 minutes to biology. That is the maximum. For chemistry, go with anywhere from 45 to 60 minutes. Chemistry will be easily done. If you are a student of 11th standard or 12th standard and if you're giving the test of a particular topic like physical chemistry, then of course that will take a longer amount of time in contrary to, let's say, inorganic chemistry. So, but if you're giving the mixed paper, then that will have roughly equal amounts of everything. So that you should give around 45 to 60 minutes. The next and the last thing is physics. Now, physics is actually 60 to 90 minutes. That is the ideal thing. That 1 hour to 1 hour and 30 minutes. If you have that much time, go for physics. So that was the order that you should be following. And always make sure that you have at least 15 or 20 minutes at the end of the examination before you can look at your mistakes and correct them if there are any. The next point is that I will talk about bubbling. Now, what is bubbling and is it valid still? So yeah, bubbling is the thing where you fill up the, OMR sheet. And that is one of the very important thing, because no matter what you have solved or what you have studied, if you're mistaken in bubbling, then your question or perhaps your even answer sheet could go in the wrong way. So bubbling is very important. So I've got a few tips for you. First of all, solve any subject and then bubble the entire subject. Let's say I'm solving with biology, starting with biology. So I'll start with biology and complete biology, and then I will bubble the entire biology completely, so that during solving my paper, I am not broken from my flow state. Now, what is this flow state? Flow state is the state where you are at the maximum efficiency of everything. So during that examination preparation time, you are in something called as a flow state. So don't break that flow state just to bubble something over there. Once you are done with one subject, then bubble that subject, and that way you'll only break your flow state 3 times, but that would greatly reduce the chances of you messing up on your OMR sheet. The next thing is that you have to be very, very careful. And one of the pro tips that I can give you over here is that whisper mentally. Zor se mat bol dena. Whisper mentally. That means if you are solving something like 79th question and you arrive at a conclusion that the answer is B, to bubble karne ke pehle, just say to yourself ki 79B, 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 and then just mark the B option while seeing the 79 number. So that was the pro tip. Another pro tip is that use your fingertips. Never ever, make a mistake during bubbling. So use your fingertips to like get on the particular question number. If you are solving 52, then use your fingertip to get at 52 and then go horizontally and see what you have to bubble, which option you have to bubble. And this way you are not going to get mistaken bubbling. Once NEET gets digitalized, if that ever happens, then bubbling will no longer be a thing, and this part of my video will get skipped. The most important thing over here is my third point, that is moving on from what you cannot solve under 1 minute. So now if you look at the questions which come in NEET, which at least used to come in NEET, most of the questions that are coming are solvable under 1 minute. There are a few questions which are not solvable under 1 minute. They require 2 to 3 minutes of time. And there are a few questions which require around 4 to 5 and even more than that minutes of your time. You have to be smart in selecting which questions you want to solve first. If you solve the difficult question first then you have would have wasted your time, and it is a high chance that you have got the answer incorrect. Instead of that, if you can't solve a question in under 1 minute, just move on from that question and start another question. Remember, there will be 10 questions out of which 8 or 7 you will definitely know, 3 will be difficult and 1 will be extremely difficult. So this is the thing that you should be following, that if you cannot solve it under 1 minute, then leave it, and leave it so that you can come back to it later and then solve it. So this is what you have to remember. There is, you can see this diagram which I'm showing over here. You can remember the Maxwell distribution curve from over here, that maximum questions will lie under the solvable range. So that kya hoga, once you are done with the solvable questions, you have that confidence ki okay, maximum things is done, only a few things that I'm not knowing. The next point is called as elimination. So elimination is a big topic in itself. So I'll give you an example. If there is a question from gastrointestinal physiology that the stomach secretes all of the following except, you have not studied stomach at all, but you have studied pancreas really well, and you know that pancreas secretes trypsinogen. So if in that option trypsinogen is present, then of course you have eliminated that answer itself. So this is a very rogue example, but elimination can be very useful, that if you don't know what is the point, then use elimination to get to the answer. It's a very big thing, so I'm not going to get into much detail over here. The next point is that whenever you are reading the question of biology specifically, then look at the last line of the question the first. For example, if there is a question ki a person is thinking about contracting his bicep and the biceps contracts, then which of the following neurotransmitters is released in the neuromuscular junction? So the initial two lines were actually useless. Even if you would have skipped that, then the answer would not have changed. That does not mean you do not have to read it, but the more important part is that read the last lines of the questions first. That means the main question itself, what is the neurotransmitter which is released? That is your main question. And then go towards reading the main question. So usse kya hoga ki you will have an idea ki what this person is trying to ask you. And that way, a lot of your time can be saved. Now, this is very useful when you're preparing for NEET PG as well. Like when we are solving questions from Marrow or something like that, we tend to use this technique a lot. The next thing is that people usually ask me, how many questions should I solve? My answer is as many questions as you can. Try for like 170 plus or at least 160 plus. Minimum is like 170 or 160. Do not fall beyond that, because if you're falling more than that, then you're basically out of the competition. So how many questions should you solve? As many as you can. And 170 should be your upper limit, lower limit. And the lowest should be 160. And if you want to like eyeball something or yeah, tukka lagana hai tumhe. So if you are confident that iska answer ye ho sakta hai, then go for tukka. Well, that solves the examination part. Now let's come to the different aspect of your NEET journey preparation. That is, how will you handle everything? So the first thing is that maintain some mental stability, have some people that you can talk to. Your parents are the best examples, and don't just get engrossed completely into studies. You know, there is some life outside studies also. NEET is probably the easiest examination that you'll be giving after you have entered medical college. When you look back, you'll see NEET was way easier than first year MBBS anatomy examination. So this is the thing, ki NEET is not the hardest of examinations. People clear big exams like USMLE, NEET PG in like very short duration of time, like 6 to 8 months. So NEET is in comparison just a 6 month study for these people. And that is very true. So chill out a little bit. It's okay. And always remember that you have to give your best. You have to stay consistent with everything you're trying to do. You have to work hard. You have to solve a lot of questions. So this is the general guidelines, and mental stability is most important, because as a NEET aspirant, you keep losing your mind every few days. If you don't get the answer of a test correct, and if you're not able to study properly, it's okay. Give yourself a break of 1 day and then recharge and rejuvenate the very next day. So this were my general tips for NEET UG people. Apart from that, one thing is that do not waste your time on any social media platform. There are many NEET aspirants following me on YouTube as well as Instagram, but I sincerely request ki at least Instagram you switch off, YouTube you continue watching this, because I release videos such as this. There are different creators which provide excellent videos. So YouTube is good, but apart from that, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, whatever else you have on your phone, just delete that and then focus on what your main goal is, that is cracking the examination itself. So yeah, on YouTube you can connect with me. So please don't leave YouTube, okay? You're my dear audience. Please don't go. Now, another aspect comes from this is that there is something called as motivation and there is something called as dedication. So this is a very interesting topic actually. Motivation is something which is very short term, and dedication is something which is long term. If you're dedicated for a target, no matter what, you will pierce through it and you will be successful at the end. If you are motivated for something, motivation can be short-lived. Like you will be motivated for 2 weeks and then you will lose that motivation. Both are important in their own ways. If you are motivated to do something, you will do that very, very fast. And if you are dedicated to do something, even if you're slow, you will do that in a long run. So both are important. The sources of motivation can be anything, and it is important for you to stay motivated. Actually, dedication is what you feel when you are not giving tests, but you still want to, do well in your NEET examination. And motivation is something that you feel when you have a test in front of you. So when you look at that test, you feel motivated that I have to study for this test. So make sure that you have a combination of both going on. Like there are different things which motivates people. As I've come to know that many of my videos are motivational, you should check them out if you are free of. Stay motivated and stay dedicated. My final suggestion is that you make a mistake book and record all of your MCQ mistakes. If you don't know what a mistake book is, well, it's just a book which records all of your MCQ mistakes and their solutions so that in the future you don't commit those mistakes again and again. And yeah, have faith in yourself, man. It's okay that not a lot of people get selected, only a few people get selected, but in the end, faith is what also makes a difference. Even if you know everything and if you're not confident with yourself, it is going to happen that you will fail the examination. So have a lot of faith in yourself. Even if you're not doing good, make sure that you find your weak areas and target them, but भरोसा मत छोड़ो अपना. यू कैन डू इट. आई बिलीव इन यू. एंड इफ यू पुट इनफ एफर्ट्स इन द राइट डायरेक्शन, आई एम प्रिटी श्योर यू विल बी अ डॉक्टर वन डे. एंड Definitely, then let me know whether or not you made it. With that being said, finally, I would like to tell you about an app, my app, Axon. If you didn't already know, Axon is an app available for Android. It has got video lectures of biology covering the entire syllabus. There are more than 100 lectures, which are all taught by me. NCERT is covered line by line and in very crisp, short bits without wasting your time. And I'm pretty sure that once you watch those video lectures, NCERT is going to be a piece of cake for you. Apart from that, the question bank has around 5,000 questions ready for you as solvable modules, which are previous year questions, and more questions are being added every single day. Apart from that, it has a lot of guidance lectures, kind of like this one, and it is going to really help you if you get the subscription of Axon. 6 months package of Axon is right over here, and that is in less than 100 rupees per month. So if you're considering to boost your NEET score and performance, and if you want me to have you as a student and you want me as your mentor, then definitely support the channel and get a subscription of Axon, which is going to be very, very beneficial to you in the long run. With that being said, thank you so much for staying for such a long time with me. And now, my dear friend, close the video and go study and don't watch another video for 2 days. Come back and watch another video which I'll be releasing very soon. So yeah, with that being said, stay safe, stay healthy, and stay happy, my dear friend. Until next time, I'll see you soon.